This is TWiT.
So this scoop came out a couple of weeks ago. German's well-connected, often considered to be, you know, when he says something, it's considered to be pretty accurate. Apple's been building a team since late 2015. Now 1,000 engineers working on two products aimed, according to Gurman, at upending the VR and AR segments. There's a device, codename N301, that would be an all-encompassing digital experience for gaming and consuming content. And then the real device, and that's presumably coming out next year. The real device, though, will be the N421, a lightweight pair of glasses that he expects, let me see, in a few years, like 2022. And those would be completely augmented reality. You think that's going to be the next battleground? You know, one thing we learned from Apple's silicon announcement is that they had been putting the pieces of this together in ways that didn't immediately become clear. And then as soon as they said it, it was like, oh, that's why, for instance, the iPad Pro is so overpowered. You had to have this superpowered chip. Oh, I get it. Oh, that's why you redesigned, you know, the way the iPhone worked so that it would be. That's, I mean, all of this stuff came together. That's why you're focused on service, all this stuff. I think you can also say that we can see the pieces of the puzzle starting to come together. I don't want to be caught out this time, so I'm looking ahead. And for instance, the LiDAR camera on the new iPad Pro, it's the only new feature on the iPad Pro from one year to the next, is this LiDAR camera. It's not that, you know, it's, you know, hold it up and the thing. And then at WWDC, they talk a lot about their new AR kit. And it's starting to look like maybe they are doing this.
Yeah, it's for developers to build apps, right? So they've got hardware in the hands of people. Yeah. They've got the software, developer kit that's going to teach them how to do it, right? And so, you know, because all of the, you know, those things, Google Glass failed because there wasn't enough cool stuff to do with it. Snap Glasses failed because there was really only one thing to do with it, right? And so for this to succeed, it needs to have some really killer apps that are going to make people, or it really ultimately needs to have one killer app. And the thing is you don't know what
you
that
one is.
You
don't know what it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Apple's have a bunch smart of different enough. Ones. Apple's smart enough to know that they can't do it all by themselves. So there was this video, and we talked a little bit about this on MacBreak Weekly, AR Kit 4, which is the next AR kit that Apple showed off this week at WWDC. And of course, this is a developer, so there's things, so there's lots of code, but there are some examples in here. Street view, the ability to map space, scene geometry with this was an interesting image. Let me see if I can get back to that, which was a heat map kind of looking picture, but really instead of measuring thermals, it's depth sensing. So the red is the farthest, the blue, light blue is the closest, and so they're learning not just the 3D geometry. They're really learning a lot about the depth of this. And this is powered by what? The LiDAR scanner on the iPad Pro. Sam, does that come from automotive technologies? Certainly, it's
LiDAR
part of self-driving,
started,
right?
Yeah, it originally was created before self-driving, but it's really, you know, automated driving development that has made LiDAR take off as a technology, and it's why, you know, there's like 70 some startups, you know, over the last decade that have popped up, you know, developing various kinds of LiDAR. But, you know, the key to it is with LiDAR you can do something you can't really do with cameras, which is that depth measurement, you know, actually measuring the distance to those objects. You can estimate it from a 2D image, but it's never going to be as accurate as you can get with 3D. And that's why, you know, when they added the LiDAR to the iPad, now all of a sudden you have much more robust capability to place objects, and, you know, to know where surfaces are in that field of view and place objects in that field of view relative to those surfaces and anchor them.
Can you give us the 1 minute LiDAR technology? Because there's terms like time of flight. Is it like radar? What is it doing?
Yeah, I mean, it works a similar principle to radar. Radar uses radio waves. LiDAR uses light waves, a laser beam. And basically what it what most LiDARs do, and the type that's used by Apple on the iPad, it sends out pulses, laser pulses, light pulses that are reflected back off of objects. And, you know, knowing the speed of light, each one of those pulses is encoded with a timestamp, basically. And when it reflects back, you can measure how long it took, and you can figure out exactly the distance to that object. And then there's also another type that's called frequency modulated continuous wave LiDAR, which uses Doppler effect on that.
Oh, interesting.
And that's actually the way most radar works, is using that Doppler effect.
That makes more sense if you're moving with regard to the object you're bouncing the thing off of, right?
Yeah, the advantage that has is every return you get, you can measure an instantaneous velocity shift of that object.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas with time of flight, you can measure the speed to that object, but then you can measure the distance.
Yeah.
But then on subsequent pulses, by looking at where that object has moved, you can then calculate the speed from that. But it takes you a little bit longer. There's a little bit of lag in that, and it's not quite as accurate. So that's, some companies are doing that continuous wave frequency modulated LiDAR now.
So in the early days of LiDAR, the big issue was the expense. I remember there were LiDAR units that cars were using. There were $11,000 per unit.
The early ones, those first Velodynes that you saw on
the spinning,
like the DARPA Grand Challenge cars and the early Google cars, those were about $80,000 each.
Wow.
Yeah. And now they're getting down. You can buy, there's a bunch of different LiDAR sensors that you can buy now for anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000.
Wow.
For a 360-degree LiDAR.
Still expensive, though, right?
Yeah, but there's also, solid-state ones that are getting down to the sub-$1,000 level. And in the next couple of years, you'll get down close to $100.
And you know, Apple's, is it really LiDAR on the iPad? I mean, are they just using that term?
Yeah, it's LiDAR.
It's got to cost less than $100.
It's using a laser.
The iPad itself is only, $900.
Right. And it looks like what they're doing is a very basic solid state LiDAR. It's a low power, probably 905 nanometer laser. It's just silicon. There's no moving parts to it. It's what we call a flash LiDAR, where, it flashes the scene, with a scan of dots and gets the returns off of those. It's not scanned. There's no beam steering. It's fixed, very low, short range, probably, no more than 5 to 7 meters.
Is that the same as the Face ID camera in Apple's phones?
It's a similar concept. And I would guess it's probably based on the same technology as what they're doing. I'm not sure exactly what frequency they're using on Face ID, but that one might actually be a different – that might be a higher frequency. That might be a 1550 nanometer, because the thing about 905 nanometer, there's two basic frequencies of LiDAR that are used. There's 905 and 1550. 905 is not eye safe, so if you have a strong enough beam – and get right in somebody's eyes, it could cause eye damage.
Yikes, that's
where
not good.
1550 nanometer will not cause eye damage, so they can use more powerful lasers and get longer range.
Right.
So it's probably a very low power 905 nanometer that they're using for Face ID and for the iPad LiDAR, just because the power is low enough, it's not going to cause any damage.
So the fact that this appeared in the iPad Pro, the most recent release, tells you two things. One, as you said, Apple is trying to get developers to try this, to use it, to start writing stuff around it, to give them the capability. So they're pushing ARKit 4 and all of that. But the other one is it's a manufacturing thing. This is what happened with the iPhone. In 2007, they released it, and suddenly they started making custom machines. Apple did for the Chinese manufacturers. They started really building this expertise, and the prices of the components dropped and dropped and dropped. The interesting side benefit is there are all these industries that popped up. I think Shira started her own company all around. I don't know. I'm just joking. But
I'm wondering how people use this, like regular people.
Drones. Well, if you use a drone, for instance, the technology that the iPhone made cheap and widely available in Chinese factories made drones, quadcopters, possible.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think what Apple's trying to do with LiDAR is build that manufacturing base so that they can make these cheaper and cheaper, better and better over time. You agree, Sam? Is that what happens?
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I think that's absolutely part of it. And I would not be at all surprised if what they're incorporating for the LiDAR and the iPad and, you know, probably in some upcoming devices has evolved directly out of the work that Apple's been doing on their automated driving program. You know, I have no doubt that they've been, you know, developing their own sensors. You know, the vehicles so that are out on that the road.
They, maybe the Apple car rumor was really just misguided because they were making a LiDAR and people thought it must be for a car.
No, you know, no. I think that they actually were developing their own automated driving system. I don't think that they were ever all that serious about developing a complete vehicle.
Right.
I think they were focused on the automated driving part because I think that's probably where they think the real money is, rather, because building cars is a low margin business. You know?
Right.
But, you know, if you build an automated driving system and a service around that, now all of a sudden you have the potential for some money if you can get it to work. And, you know, I think given that that has taken a lot longer to get to maturity, they probably took some of the ideas developed out of that program, brought them into other parts of the company, you know, into these mobile devices to use, you know. And, you know, when it first came out that they were working on automated driving, you know, my first thought was, okay, well, you know, they bought PrimeSense, you know, the company that developed the original Microsoft Kinect. You know, they're doing their own silicon. They're doing, you know, they're doing all kinds of things with software. It makes sense for them to develop all of this full stack, the hardware and the software in-house, running on their own compute platform. And if they can get that to work, it gives them a real potential advantage over some of the competitors. But there's that big if of if you can get it to work, which so far has been a real challenge for everybody.
That's going to be the real – you could say Apple Silicon is a risky move. That's less risky. They've been making Apple Silicon since 2007. They kind of understand the business. The real risky move and the move that you have to do because you've got to find a successor to the iPhone – is this move into wearables. I don't think they're doing cars, but the move into wearables. I'm sorry, I cut you off. You wanted to say something, Jason?
I was just going to say there also is there's another end game here. One of the end games is making glasses that are going to be one of the next great consumer devices.
They need the next iPhone, yeah.
Right. There are challenges with that. But also, remember, one of the things that a lot of people overlooked with Google was like how important maps were, right? Yeah. Mapping the world for the digital, sort of the next phase of the digital revolution was critically important. It's the same with LiDAR. So LiDAR, putting LiDAR in the hands of people to map the world for them, although, you know, these they could do similar to what we've seen with maps and send, essentially people in these vehicles out to do it. But they need it on a more detailed level. So whoever gets this technology and puts it in the hands of their users and they map the world for us in LiDAR, that is going to be absolutely critical to, and just to name two things, the autonomous vehicles and robots and automation. Because when you have the world mapped to that sort of 3D model level, then all of a sudden you have this incredibly valuable data set that's like probably more valuable than sitting on top of oil. Right, because so many people are going to want to build businesses off of that data, that mapping data from LiDAR, and so that's another one of the end games too. Right, is because Apple doesn't typically, you know, get into that business, but you can bet Google, Facebook, Amazon, others, absolutely, Microsoft, absolutely want a piece of that.
What about VR experiences? Because I was thinking, like, with this whole quarantine thing and people being stuck inside and tourism, like, this would this be able to be used to drop people into different cities or even tourist destinations? I feel like this could be huge.
I mean, and actually that's a conversation I want to have next, which is how the stuff we're doing today with mixed success globally, COVID-19 related, like quarantining, how it's going to definitely, I think, very much change the landscape in a way that it's going to hasten some stuff along. It's going to kill some stuff that wouldn't have happened if it weren't. for that. Here's, by the way, another interesting use of LiDAR. It is being used. We had them on the new screensavers a couple of years ago. It is being used to map ancient ruins. This is a Mayan city that is invisible, but LiDAR can actually take the forest canopy out and reveal the layout of the city below it. And they're doing a lot of this now in the Amazon forest and other places, starting to see stuff that we couldn't see before thanks to LiDAR. So it's a really interesting
Archaeology.
And that's the sort of thing you can do with, you know, the frequency modulated continuous wave LiDAR, you know, the higher power, much higher resolution than anything we're using for cars or you know, iPads. You can go through and do that sort of thing, fly a drone or an aircraft over it, map that, and then you can actually filter out, you know, things like the trees, you know, filter out, you know, a lot of things, you know, by comparing frame by frame and seeing what has moved, you know, seeing where everything is, and you can actually remove a lot of things. And there's a lot of potential, because one of the challenges LiDAR's had is, you know, when you have a reflection off of a snowflake or a raindrop, you know, with some of that early generation LiDAR, you know, it couldn't see through rain, basically.
Not so useful, yeah.
No, but now some of these newer generations of LiDAR actually can filter that stuff out fairly reliably.
Yeah.